Greetings, everyone. This is Brian Reisman, host of Side Jams, a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Please subscribe and follow the show on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. And also know that it is now available as a video podcast on YouTube, starting with episode 56. It's video onward, but you can also listen to the audio portion right here. I hope you enjoy this latest episode. Greetings, everyone. This is Brian Reisman, host of Side Jams, welcoming you to episode 59, featuring Ben Bruce, guitarist and co-founder of Asking Alexandria. They have a hard-rocking and introspective new release out called See What's on the Inside. You should check it out. Now, when Ben is not shaking stages with his band, he has a newfound love for cooking, which actually came about at the start of the pandemic. And over the last 2 years, he and his wife have welcomed two new children into the world. So they now have four kids who keep them very busy and very happy. I conducted this interview with Ben prior to the war in Ukraine, so when the topic of them touring Ukraine and Russia comes up, sadly, they're not going to be able to play for their fans there for a while due to the ongoing humanitarian crisis. So our two hot topics for this episode, cooking, fatherhood, let's go.
Yeah, it was great to chat with you again.
You too, mate. How have you been?
I've been good. It's been, you know, it's weird, like you're talking about time flying by, and I guess, you know, you guys were making music. I mean, you put out two albums during the pandemic, and then, you know, I'm writing at home, and for a lot of my other friends, it's been, family, it's been harder. I'm used to burrowing, and so are you. But so the time actually didn't really drag for me the way it did for other people, but it felt weird.
Yeah, yeah. It is weird. And I think for me, time is almost sped up because my previous life as a musician, when people used to tour, the days would sort of blend into each other because, you know, you'd be on a schedule every day and you'd wake up at the same time, you'd sound check at the same time, you'd play a set at the same time, you'd do a meet and greet. So it was very regimented and it was like, this is what it is. And since having this time off and being home and just hanging out with my kids, there's no structure. They're insane. And it's just, time just flies by. It's absolutely mental. And I've just realized how much time I've actually missed by being away touring for so long. So it's definitely been, it's been odd.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know for Side Jams, we're actually going to talk about, you know, you're being a dad and cooking. It's funny, I just had Midgeur from Ultravox, we're putting that episode together. He's a big fan of cooking. So it's well, interesting. You know, yeah, Orianti's is big on that too, actually.
It's good. I was rubbish too until this pandemic. I didn't know how to cook.
You were forced to, basically, to survive.
I don't know. I had nothing to do. You know, I was like, I'm one of those people that music was just my hobby and it became my career. And I think that happens to a lot of people. They're like, well, now what's my hobby? And I didn't, and it took me forever to find one. And I don't know what happened. I think I cooked one thing one day and I did a good job. And I was like, oh, maybe I could do this. And so, yeah, I really, really do enjoy cooking a lot now.
But so what do you remember what the first thing you cooked successfully was?
The first thing I cooked successfully was a steak. And I think basically I like going out for like a nice meal. I like to go out on a date night with my wife. We try and do a date night at least once a week, which is so important with kids and stuff, I think. And then the pandemic hit and we weren't allowed to do it anymore. So I was like, wow, you know, and a couple months in of not going out on date nights and stuff, I was like, this is insane. I need to try and recreate some sort of date night here. And so I cooked a steak it went pretty well. And I was like, wow, that was actually, not only was it, you know, cheaper than going out and paying for a steak in a restaurant, but I felt sort of good about doing something myself. And I enjoyed it. And so I was like, well, let me try and cook lamb. And I made like lamb shank and then went to pork. And I was like, oh. And I've figured out very quickly, like, Americans love grilling. Like, they love grilling. So I was like, I'm going to get an outdoor kitchen and a grill and all this stuff. I don't love grilling. I discovered that after spending far too much money getting grill stuff going on. I'm not a fan of grilling. I like to be in the kitchen and cook. But, it's fun. It's almost therapeutic for me. And I take my time with it, too. My wife sometimes gets annoyed because I'm like, ooh, what do you want for dinner? And she was like, it's already 5 o'clock. You can't make dinner. I'm like, well, why not? It's only five. She's like, yeah, by the time you're finished, it'll be nine. Because I'm so anal about the whole thing still. Because I've not been doing it all that long. So I get everything ready. I make sure everything's set up. I make sure my stations are all done. And so it still takes me quite a long time. But with grilling, it's kind of just like a throw and go. And I'm just not that good at that.
So now that you started cooking, what are the things you like to cook and that you're good at?
I love cooking meats. I really do. Like, side dishes are fine. It's like a necessary thing, but I love cooking a meat, and I love cooking it well, because meats are cooked, different types of meat and different cuts of meat are cooked to different temperatures and serve themselves better with served at different temperatures and with different sort of sauces or what have you. And there's so many different techniques when it comes to cooking meats too. And so I love cooking meat more so than vegetables and stuff like that, but just because I think vegetables kind of do their own thing. Obviously you can prepare those in a bunch of different ways too, but it's a vegetable. There's nothing more fulfilling than cooking a perfect sort of medium rare filet mignon steak and be like, and you've got the sear on the outside, and I'm like, I feel accomplished, I feel good. So right now, yeah, I'm really enjoying cooking meats.
But no plans to open up a restaurant yet.
No plans to open up. It's funny because I've always wanted to open, I want like a food truck, and I feel like I've just had this idea in my head forever, which once I tell you the name of it, you'll realize very quickly why it can't happen, because I'll be getting all kinds of the wrong people queuing up for it. But I would love to have a food truck just with a British flag painted on the side and something in England, like a fast food, quick snack that we eat a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar. It's called a sausage roll. And basically it's just a puff pastry wrapped around sausage meat, essentially. And it's just a good, quick hand snack. And so me having the background I have in music, I would love to have a food truck with the British flag painted on the side, and I want it to be called Sex, Drugs, and Sausage Rolls. And we'll sell all kinds of like pastry snacks and stuff that I think of. But my wife was just like, yeah, you know who's going to be queuing up outside your food truck at 2 o'clock in the morning when they're drunk coming from the pub, and I won't have sex or drugs. I'll just have the sausage rolls. And I don't think it will be quite as successful as I had made out in my head.
Well, I mean, there's been heavy metal food trucks, you know, going around the country. I think there's one called Grill 'Em All. I mean, there's certain different ones that have been.
That's cool. Grill 'Em All. I've
done some writing about food business. It's not as easy as people think.
No, absolutely.
One of the big things is location is a big part of it. And yeah. I've also realized a lot of people who start up small businesses like that, you can be a dream to like say, I'm save up all this money, I'm quitting my job, and I'm opening up a restaurant. But if you don't know how to run a restaurant, that can be tricky. It's like any business. You could open up a store but not understand how to market things. And
of course.
So it's a little trickier. I think I told this to Midger that I worked with a guy who was a head waiter at this hotel. I was a busboy out one summer. And he had been working there for years. And so he was learning everything about the kitchen before he started his own place. So then he did start his own restaurant. I guess it lasted for a few years. Because it's amazing, you find a good place and it disappears because they just didn't know.
They don't know how what to do. And that's a thing too, because I mean, you want to open a restaurant, but like you say, if you've had no experience there, if you've never been a busboy, you've never been a waiter, you've never been a line cook, you've never been a chef, you've never been any part of it, but you want to open an Italian restaurant because you like Italian food, and somewhere down the line, you had a great grandma that was Italian, and you have the meatball recipe that everyone that's tried it loves it. It's not the same, you know, you don't have the expertise. And it, the same can be said about any profession, really. I mean, for me, I write music. That's what I do. That's what I know. It's what I've practiced since I was 3 years old, is music, 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 music.
Yeah.
And then, you know, some people will be like, well, why don't you just do this? And I'm like, you have no knowledge of music. You like music, which is great, but you have no knowledge. And it's the same thing. If I were to open a restaurant, I'd fail miserably. I have no knowledge of what it takes to run a restaurant. I like cooking. That's about it. You know what I mean? And it just, there's so much more to it than that. So as it stands, no plans to open a restaurant.
It's also the trap of the celebrity, you know, like the person who's well known for something else coming in. I think when I was about 30 years ago, when I was living in LA, we went to Clint Eastwood's restaurant up in Carmel. And it wasn't bad. It had a kind of a cool outdoor vibe, and I remember there was, it kind of integrated, like there was a lot of nearby trees, and I almost felt like maybe some of the, I don't know if I'm writing this correctly, like some of the tables sort of had that kind of oak feel. I don't know. It was interesting. It wasn't like amazing. I remember going there. And there's some people that do well with restaurants. I mean, that is their passion. That's an outside passion they have. I mean, the reason I started this podcast is because I'll interview a lot of you guys, and then we'll go off on a tangent for 30 minutes sometimes, or even 10 minutes, where you talk about something cool, like, oh, I've started a toy company, whatever. And then it doesn't make it into the story for more than a sentence because there's just word counts.
Because it's, yeah.
It, you know, and that's the tricky part. And I find that you learn more about people through other things as well.
Having a conversation and, yeah.
You know, I mean, you obviously, you guys have toured the world and you've probably had some not great food. I'm sure you've had some amazing cuisine as well.
I've had lots of not great food.
Do you tend to eat out more, or do you deal with a lot of the catering when you're backstage at a lot of these shows?
Now, we eat out a lot more than we ever used to. We couldn't afford to before, and it's not like we're loaded now. We are still musicians. I think there's a common misconception that once you're a successful musician, you're a multimillionaire, which I'm sure that's the case for some, and that's wonderful. It's not the case for most of us. Yeah. But as we've gotten older, just creature comforts like a good meal and a good place to sleep have become almost necessary. You know, we spent years just living off of McDonald's and ramen noodles and stuff. And it gets to the point we got bigger and then we started getting catering at shows. And it was like, okay, this is a step in the right direction. But then you start to realize too, after years of getting catering, not that you're ungrateful, but it's just, it's not. Sometimes you get a catering company that are fantastic and the meals are great. And sometimes you get a catering company that clearly it's just a job for them and they don't really care all that much and the food's not healthy. And by the time you've come off stage, the food, what's left of the food is scraps and it's cold. It got to the point where it was like, if we're going to go out on tour and be away from our family and, you know, do this, we want to be more comfortable. So we do eat out a lot more now. And it's funny because I hate pulling any kind of like I'm famous card. I hate it. I won't do it. I don't do it. But on tour, it's almost necessary. We have to have our tour manager call a restaurant in advance because by the time we come off stage and we're finished and we're showered and the show's done, it can be 11:30 at night and restaurants are all closing. And then, like I said, catering's over and you're left ordering shitty pizza and living off of that. So we have to have our tour manager call and say, hey, I've got a band over. We've just played such and such a venue. They would love to come to your restaurant. And 9 times out of 10, the chef and the owner will be super excited by that. And we get to go and have all these great experiences in these wonderful, we try and find like a local restaurant in each place we go to rather than a chain or anything like that. We try and find somewhere that's just, you know, locally owned, locally sourced. And we've ended up coming across some just incredible restaurants over the last few years. Well, not with COVID, but while we have been touring, and it's actually quite a nice way of doing it because you end up getting to meet the chef and they sit down with you and you meet the owner and the waiter or waitress that stay behind to help you. You end up having like a nice experience after the restaurant sort of closed. So that's something that's been really enjoyable for us over the last few years.
And now you're better behaved too, so that works out even better.
Yeah, we don't ruin anything. We don't drink. It's like, hey, would you like, we'll order a glass of wine for the table and we'll all sip on some Chateau Neuf de Pape and go to bed.
And yet 20-year-old Ben would have been like, what?
Yeah, what are you doing? 20-year-old Ben would have just been eating McDonald's and drinking Jack Daniels with Mountain Dew in it or something horrible.
I remember I think the first time I interviewed you and Danny, it was midnight on the East Coast at least.
Yeah.
And you were in an interesting mood. It was funny. I was like, yep, these guys are young.
These guys are stupid.
That's a classic archived interview. I can pull it out years later. Look at how they've grown.
Look how
they've
stupid
all grown
Ben
up. Well, yeah, but I'm sure you had fun at times too. I'm sure you don't regret everything. I'm sure you had fun at certain points.
Yeah, and I mean, everyone's young at some point. And everyone has to be young and dumb, or you don't learn, you don't grow. If you're not making mistakes and being stupid, how do you learn how to become smart and grow as a human being? So, you know, it definitely was, there were fun times, and there was a lot of fun times. The only thing I definitely do regret is just getting so sucked into, or not even getting sucked in, allowing myself to be pushed into and get therefore getting sucked into the rock and roll lifestyle, you know. And I think people used to write tabloids, and they named us like Us Against Andrea, the heroes of rock and roll, and they're, you know, just like Motley Crue and blah, blah, blah. And when you're young, that's such a, it felt like an honor. And so it was encouraged and it was pushed. And it was like, people were like, well, if you don't behave this way, you're not rock and roll and you'll be forgotten and you won't be successful. And that's the one thing I truly regret, is allowing myself to be put in that place, because it led to very real sort of drug addictions and alcohol addictions. And it led to a very dark time in my life and the guys' lives. And, you know, that's not fun. And if I could have avoided that, with hindsight, obviously I'd talk to myself and be like, it's not worth it. Like, don't ever take that first line of blow. It's not worth it. This is where it leads. And I would have stopped drinking liquor years before. In fact, I probably never would have touched the stuff to begin with. But, you know, like I said, everyone's young and you do live and you do learn. And it's not like it's unique to people in the music industry or anything like that. You know, there's people discover that stuff in high school and going into new jobs and stuff.
College.
So it's just part of life. Yeah, college, exactly. You know what I mean? And I almost feel it's necessary to learn from that. And unfortunately, some people don't learn, and they continue down that path until their lives are gone and ended, you know, and they've spent their whole lives controlled by substances and stuff like that. But fortunately for me, I was able to learn and move on from it. A lot of that, I think, is down to my wife and my kids sort of opening my eyes to what's really important in life, you know?
Yeah, it's another thing we're actually going to talk about. Well, it was good to mention, you're talking about the parting, is just that, you know, a band like Motley Crue, part of their resurgence wasn't just the music, I feel. It was the legend of their partying in there. And out of all of those bands, that equals the music, if not more in certain ways. It was the crazy things they did. But you actually can't – you read the dirt and you don't really want to have been that guy.
Yeah,
you don't want to be the guy that's done that. And it works for a few people. I almost feel like now, I was saying this to Billy Idol a few months ago, it feels like almost some of the rock fans are crazier than the bands. It's actually the fans in the audience that are doing crazier things than the bands on stage.
Well, because I think it's people want to live vicariously through these crazy rock and roll stories, you know. And I actually remember reading The Dirt when I was young and thinking, oh, so this is what it is to be rock and roll. And that's kind of what you're force fed and you're made to believe that is how you behave if you are rock and roll or if you are punk rock. And you know, it just takes time and years to realize that's not what's rock and roll at all. You know, that's what's commonly known as stupidity, but you know, at the time you just don't realize.
Well, you were talking about parenthood. I mean, you're how old are your kids now? You got two kids.
I got four.
You have four.
Yeah. My oldest is 5. My second oldest is 4. Then I have a 20-month-old and a 4-month-old.
Oh, you've had a lot going on in the pandemic. Yes. We didn't get a chance to talk about that last time.
No. Very busy house. Very loud household.
What's the boy-girl ratio?
2 boys, 2 girls.
So it's even.
Girl, boy, boy, girl. Perfect.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So so now you're juggling a band, you've had to working on a couple records, and you've got 4 kids. Did you sleep at all?
No. It's funny you say that, because I've been up, we take my daughter to school and my son to school. I have to wake up every day at 6:30, which during the winter sucks because the sun's not up and it's just like, ugh. But I actually missed it this morning. My wife took the kids to school because I just couldn't wake up. My second youngest, my son, He woke up at 2:30 screaming. I think he might have an ear infection or something.
Oh, wow.
And I was up with him until about 5. And I was just like, wow, this is exhausting. And it's Friday night. And I was hoping to take my wife out for a meal, but I feel like I'm probably going to be, it's going to be one of those nights where we eat junk food and are in bed by 7 watching something on Netflix and falling asleep by 8.
I'm a vampire, man. I went to bed at like, 3 last night, I think.
Oh, Jesus. I can't remember the last time. See, actually, We're up at the same time, but for very different reasons.
Yes. But I've always admired the fact when people try to juggle all of these things. I mean, how do you stay sane through all of this? As all those years of touring and running around and dealing with constantly shifting locations and priorities, has that actually made it easier for you to juggle fatherhood?
I think so, because I'm kind of used to just chaos. But for me, I just genuinely love it. So to me, everyone's always like, man, you've got four kids. That must be such hard work. And I know this pisses a lot of parents off when I say it, because obviously it is hard work. But my answer is always, it's not hard work for me. And it's not that it's not difficult. It's just not hard work, because I just genuinely enjoy it so much. I get so much joy out of spending time with my kids and watching them grow and having fun with them. It's actually made me question, like, how do I even go back to doing music when the world opens up again properly? Like, how am I even going to bring myself to leave and go on tour? So that's going to be the big change. The big struggle for me is leaving again.
Well, that's always the hard part. It's sort of the opposite of the kids going off to college or even summer camp. It's like, you're leaving.
Yeah, I'm leaving. And then I know that's what's going to suck one day too, is right now they're watching me pack my bags and they're like climbing on my shoulders, asking me not to leave. And I'm going to be doing that all the way up to the point where I'm home finally. And maybe I'm old enough to have stopped doing it as much. And they'll be packing their fucking bags and leaving. And I'll be like, whoa, no, where are you going? You know, so it's a strange thing. And it goes back to what we were saying earlier. For me, time's just flying by. Like, I can't believe my daughter is 5. She's turning 6 this year. And I'm like, why weren't you just born yesterday? And it sounds like such a cliche, especially, I'm sure, to people that don't have children. But it genuinely feels that way. It feels like the last 6 years have just gone, bop! And I'm like, uh-oh. When that happens again, she'll be turning into a teenager.
I mean, how has it been? You have young kids. So how have they? I mean, a couple of them are really young, so they're not going to remember any of this.
Yeah.
But for the older two, I mean, how has it been for them dealing with this alternate reality that we've been living in for the past 2 years?
Well, I've kind of turned it into almost like a game with them, because obviously trying to get. And I think we've done the right thing here, because all my friends and other kids my age are like, how do you get your kids to keep their masks on? My kids won't put a mask on, bing, it's off in 2 seconds. My kids keep their masks on.
Yeah.
And they've been great. But basically when it happened, I didn't know how to explain to them that we weren't able to fly back to England and see grandma and granddad. I didn't know how to explain to them that they weren't going to school anymore, or that they couldn't come to the supermarket with me. And then I decided to tell them that there were zombies, and they went, there are zombies. And I said, yeah, but they're not really the same as the way movies have depicted zombies. They're like invisible zombies. And they can make you really sick, just like a zombie bite would. So now they think there's like a zombie thing going on. So they wear their masks, and when we do go out, they're cautious, and they kind of find it exciting. They're like, oh, I can't touch this because there's zombies and stuff. And I need to, you know, when I'm coughing, I need to cough into my arm so I don't, you know what I mean? So, and now that they still talk to it about, they have more understanding now because it's gone on for so long.
Yeah.
But they'll still refer to it as zombies. So like my daughter come back from school the other day, and there wasn't, I think, 3 kids in her class, and that was it. And I was like, oh, where's all your friends? And she went, the zombies got them. But don't worry, they'll be back next week. It's been odd.
Been odd. So now what are you, you guys are actually going to be touring, I guess, starting, what, you have a Ukraine date coming up in March. I'm curious how that's going to go.
I'm very curious to see how that goes, because things are looking a bit scary with Ukraine and Russia right now. We're supposed to be going to both. My tour manager called me today. He's like, I don't even think we can get flights from Russia to Ukraine and vice versa at the moment. So,
there's no other way to fly. You can only fly in from Russia to Ukraine? Is that how it works?
I think you have to go somewhere else and then fly in. Okay. Like, I don't think their borders are open to each other right now, from what my tour manager was saying to me.
Oh, that's right, because you have the Russian date 1 or 2 days after that, the first Russian date.
Yeah, so I'm interested to see what happens. I'm hoping it doesn't get postponed again, because I really enjoy going across to Russia and Ukraine. And all the political stuff aside, that has nothing to do with us. We just go there and we enjoy the fans, and we enjoy, you know, the food and the show and traveling. So I really do enjoy going over there, and all the political stuff that's going on, obviously, is unfortunate, but there's nothing we can do about that. But I'm really hopeful that this doesn't get in the way of us going back over there, because obviously because of COVID, it's been pushed a couple times now.
Yeah.
So I'm just hoping we still get to go now, but I just don't know. Everything's so up in the air now with COVID and now with the political unrest that there is over there.
It's a crazy world. It's kind of a good time actually for rock and roll to come back, because I feel like rock and roll has been
needed.
Pushed down in the mainstream. It's all pop and, you know, yeah. Hip hop, but even a lot of the edgier rap music that was there in the '90s, you know, it's different now. Everything's very mainstream.
Yeah.
Even a lot of the rock bands, some of their newer rock bands, like some of their, there's gotta be something coming along. I feel like actually even in Eastern Europe or even in some communist countries that rock and roll is actually still dangerous. You know, yeah, there's still that edge, or you go to other places like South America and people are really into it. And there's a lot of political unrest in certain countries. So, whereas I think it's been around for 70 years now.
Yeah.
So it's hard to shock people and do anything different. But I guess at the end of the day, it comes down to the music, which is what you guys have been pushing. And you seem very happy. You were very happy with your last album.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think that's the funny thing. I think, like you said, it's hard to shock people now. And I think the most shocking thing you can do as a musician now is just be true to what you love doing. And people go, why aren't you doing this? And I think that's what's most shocking. And that's why even like artists like Adele, I think she's so successful because she has an incredible voice. Absolutely phenomenal. No questions asked.
You're right.
She could very easily just go down the safe pop route and sound the same as everyone else, but sing it better than anyone else and do really well. But she doesn't. You listen to her music and it's like, especially her new album, it's like, this doesn't sound like, her voice aside, the music that she's doing and the song she's creating doesn't sound like anything that the pop world has seen in 50 odd years, you know? And so I think that's what's shocking, is artists actually doing what they love instead of what they know will sell.
So now, as far as cooking, when you go out on the next tour, do you think you'll cook for your bandmates?
I don't know if they deserve it. How do you cook on a bus, really? Do you know what I mean? We've done it a few times. There's been a few times in the past where before we'd started eating at restaurants, we were like, you know what? We're going to go grocery shopping once a week and we're going to stock the bus with nice food. And you have a microwave in a bus. So we would buy like a stovetop heating thing. Yeah. And buy like a griddle, and we did it for a little while, but what tends to happen is you get really tired, and the last thing you want to do is cook when you come off stage. So then someone's like, fine, I'll do it tonight, and then by the time that they've fed everyone because it's not, you can't just feed the five band members, you got to feed the crew and stuff too. So by the time you've made food for 13 14 15 people, you're exhausted and stuff doesn't get tidied away. And we've had so many people, once the bus sets off, getting burnt by hot grills and all kinds of stuff. And then you wake up in the morning and there's mess everywhere. Yeah. So we kind of gave up on it. It's unfortunate, but it's just, it's not really the environment for fine dining and cooking.
So now, is there anything you want to do with your family? Any activities you want to do before you get back out on the road?
I would love to. So only two of my kids of the four have been able to go to England and see that side of where they're from. And my two oldest kids, they love it. They're always asking when they can go back to England. So I'd love to go back to the UK and take my youngest two as well and introduce them to the UK and that side of their roots. I think that would be
awesome.
That's
cool.
Yeah.
That'd be good. Cool, man. Well, thank you. Thank you again.
Yeah, of course, mate. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Please join me for the next episode, which will feature Margarita Monet, vocalist and keyboardist for Edge of Paradise. The theme for Side Jams is Rookie of the Year by Bobo Renfley, licensed through Soundstripe.